sci-fi,
whoa,
anime,
whoa,
video games,
whoa,
comic books.
Whoa.
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Great Scott!
This is Nerd Radio.
Excellent!
Let's get started. You ready?
All right. I'm ready.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcast. We are everywhere now. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on Podbean, everywhere. Everywhere you get your podcast, and of course, the B-Pod Studios Network. It is Chuck Bean hanging out with you on what will essentially be our Christmas episode, on our Christmas Day episode,
woo,
as it stands. And while Al and James have the week off, well-deserved, Kyle coming in.
Hello.
Pitch in. Fill in. I haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. Typically, we talk about a lot of video games and card games. So that's what you can look forward to in this particular episode. Some card gaming and some video gaming.
Yes.
How has your holidays been so far, Kyle?
Busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, we both work in industries, you know, not only radio, but retail, where,
yeah,
like, holidays are more of a busy thing than a, hey, I get time off kind of thing.
It's been, so I've been actually kind of fortunate, so I've been working a lot of opening shifts, which lets me go do other things, like go,
very cool,
and play, I don't know, card games.
Right.
And on select Friday nights. And then I also have been crazy busy at my job. I'm not only a pharmacy tech person, but I'm also a...
I know you're a pharmacy tech. That's
well, not
cool,
a pharmacy tech, but I'm a designated hitter. So that means I can work in retail and the pharmacy.
That's cool.
So I get the best of both. And I particularly work in photo a lot, and oh my God, it's,
oh yeah,
been hell.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, lots to do. A printer recently died because it just decided to eat a whole calendar. I'm like, thanks, buddy.
Oof,
so,
that's rough.
We had to call everybody and be like, sorry, your thing won't be ready.
Right.
What do you mean it won't be ready? I'm like, blame the printer, not me. Get over it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when something like that happens, can you outsource to like the other?
We can if we catch it early.
Yeah.
So, but we usually leave it up to the customer. But so, holiday hasn't been too bad, but obviously, if you work in retail, it's a little bit hellish some days.
Right. Well, we got plenty to talk about this week. Where would you like to start, man?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good one. Let's start with, seeing as how I mentioned card games, let's save some of the more dreadful news for later.
Okay, fair enough.
And then, so I think our first little hot topic will be Magic the Gathering Arena and,
yes,
Wizards of the Coast's foray into this huge esports initiative that they want. They are making the Magic Pro League. So I think it's made up of 32 of the greatest Magic players around right now.
Right.
And it's cool. I think that it's going to be great.
I mean, if people will tune into ESPN to watch people play with the physical cards, then I would imagine people would absolutely
God, that was so long ago, wasn't it, though?
Right. People will absolutely tune in to watch people play, you know, Magic Arena, especially if they're high-level players like that. I myself actually finally took the time last weekend to sit down, download the game, check it out on my laptop. It's real good, I got to say. There's a couple... I got a couple of things I did a couple of bad experiences I had with it. I will say it does give you the experience of Magic the Gathering in its totality,
yeah,
right up front. Like you open packs and you build decks and you get to play against other players. And it reminded me that the part about Magic the Gathering I hate the most are the other players.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think it was the second or third game I played that I got to play two whole turns and then suddenly ran into this infinite combo stream that this guy had put together where it's like, I play this card, which means this happens and this happens, and then I can pull this out of here and draw two cards, and then I play this card, which lets this happen and this happen, and so, and like 15 minutes later, his turn is still going on.
You know what's funny is that, so right now, Magic the Gathering Arena is only some of the most standard sets. So you're only getting the,
yes,
standardized, you know, the standard, hey, these so many sets are legal.
The current Ravnica
and
sets. The,
so you get, yeah, you get Guilds of Ravnica, you got Dominaria, you got Ixalan.
Right.
And the core set. And that's kind of surprising. Like, I haven't played MTG in Arena in quite a few weeks, but I'm impressed to see all the different styles of decks running around. You're even seeing people playing a singleton format With each other to kind of convey the Brawl initiative that
right.
they wanted players to play with, kind of a commander
well, I do,
standard.
I do absolutely love that they're only using essentially what would be, you know, current, whatever the current block is.
Yeah, the game would break otherwise.
it makes me wonder in retrospect. Now let's back up and let's kind of explain how the program itself works. It's not on the phones. It's only on the PC right now.
Correct. It's only on your computers.
And it works somewhat similar to if you've played Hearthstone or any of the other card games that are somewhat free to play right now. It's in beta testing, so I don't know that you can actually throw money at it yet.
You can, but... Okay. When they take it out of beta, you'll get either your money on your account will be reimbursed transaction history wise,
right.
or they will take all the money you spend and they will just give you all the packs that you spend.
Oh.
That way, when you, because I'm not sure. I don't know if they just give you all the cards and you just mess around with it right now or not, but
yeah,
it's
because,
still cool.
Like I said, you can. Much like Hearthstone or any of the other free-to-play games, you can spend money to get packs of cards, or you can do daily quests, which a little bit, if anyone's, you know, played like Pokemon Go or any kind of free-to-play game where, you know, every 24 hours, if you play a game, at least in the early settings, they will give you an entire deck.
Yep.
Like when they start, after you get through the tutorial, they give you 5 decks, one of every color. And then every day for just playing a game, they'll give you a 2-color deck. Which is super cool. And I don't know how long that lasts, but I'm still getting them. So
yeah, take advantage of it.
Right. And that adds to your card pool, which you can then make your own decks with, which is kind of fun. Or you can continue to just use the decks, the pre-built decks. And you know, it's the user interface is fantastic. Like, it's very easy to just click on play and, you know, it pops you up with a game. And that's the thing, even, you know, with other digital games that we play, like Heroes of the Storm or Overwatch or something like that, I would really like it if the algorithm attributed more for your win-loss record than just trying to pair you up with the next person, because that's where you run into where you play people who are light years ahead of you.
You could lose 3 games in a row, and then you think you're facing against an opponent that might be moderately up to your speed, and then you just lose in 5 turns because
right.
you're like, thanks.
Yeah, exactly. So it would be nice if it, you know, and like I said, that's not just the Magic Arena program. That's a lot of the programs. Even Overwatch has the tendency to drop me into games where, like, well, that guy's way better than me. I don't know what I'm doing
sure.
here. But one of the things I really liked about the user interface is when you make your deck, you can drag a card over the little deck box, and whatever the picture is will be the picture on the deck box. Like, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of fun. And it's there's draft formats that you can you have to have so much credits in order to play in, which you get credits.
Because you have to pay for the 3 packs or so.
Right. You get credits as well while you're playing. Like, once you've won your deck for the day, you get 2 different quests that will be like, play 20 blue or black cards, or play 40 white or green cards kind of thing. And that just rewards you for continuing to play, which is really kind of fun. You also get rewards like packs for winning games, which is really cool. The interface itself is fantastic when you're in game while you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
It seems very intuitive, especially if you've played Magic before. I don't know for a new player how intuitive it is, but it is nice that it does not, like, it has the rules built into it.
Yeah.
So if you've been doing things wrong, you will find out very quickly.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I'm going to tap this guy and then to attack, and then when they block him, I'm going to pay this to do that. Oh no, I can't do that. Oh, all right.
I think it's nice because they kind of give you, so when I played, and I think it's still more or less the same, is that when you're a new player, you're given a white deck.
Yeah.
And so white's a really good basic color because it does a lot of different things, and it's a versatile, but it's easy because simply you're like, play a dude or, you know, whatever you have, but they do a good job of you have this deck and you have to try and overcome all these this tutorial, and then you at the end you're like, hey, I have a mono white deck, and you're playing against Bolas. You're like, thanks for throwing me in the oven real quick.
It certainly felt that way at the end of the tutorial, where it's like, oof, this is gonna be rough.
But it makes you also think, okay, well, if I let them do this, then, well, yeah, there's the answer. I'll leave him open. He'll leave himself open and you eventually win, which is kind of cool. But
yeah, it's fun. The tutorial, even for a seasoned Magic player, the tutorial feels a lot like the puzzles that they used to put in the Duelist magazine, where it's, you know, there were plenty of times where it's like, I know I'm supposed to win this game. I just need to figure out the exact order I'm supposed to be playing my cards in order to win this game.
But I love it. So, and I'll play more of it, I think, as time goes on.
I'm really interested to see if they can translate, you know, how long before they translate it into a phone app, or how long they translate it into, you know, something you,
know, honestly,
you can play on the consoles or something.
I honestly think that there's a 50-50 chance that they will do that, but I think that it'll be PC only for a very long time because of just the amount of software and the amount of algorithms you have to put in. Because remember, Magic is a game with rules,
right?
With a ton of cards that break a lot of those rules all the time.
That's true.
Especially even if you're playing with only, like, let's say 10 sets. You know, let's say they just keep all the data from the first set they added in this game till, like, and they just keep on going. So let's say they started with Ixalan and then, or Amonkhet Ixalan, and then they keep those, and then they filter them out, but they keep the data for those sets in, and then they just go from, so now we have Ravnica, and then the next 10 sets after these current ones, like...
Right, and that's a thing I'd forgotten to mention, too, that I'm real curious about, is when... Do they just continue to add sets from where they started, or do they cycle sets?
I think...
And once they cycle... I would imagine the good answer to that is they'll cycle sets. But once you cycle sets, how do you deal with the fact that I spent all this time and money on this, winning these other cards,
so I think
now they don't exist?
I think what they might do is they'll keep all the data... And in your profile, it'll realize and remember that you had all these things.
Right.
And then I think what they'll do is they'll come out with another format where it'll basically eternalize the game. So, like I said, if they started the game out with Kaladesh, Amonkhet, and Ixalan blocks just for Arena, and then they added the core set, and then they added Dominaria.
Right.
So all the data for all these sets will still be in there, from the first one to each one they... consecutively put in, but they'll cycle that out, but they'll keep the data. So standard, you're only playing with those six sets are.
Right.
And then they'll come out with...
They'll make a new mode where you can play everything.
They'll come out with a new mode where you can play with everything that they've released in the game thus far and forward.
Interesting.
Which will eternalize it, which means, hey, if you want, they'll put in a modernized commander for people to maybe play.
Yeah, I mean, that would be,
Magic is a very complex game, and putting that complexity into a computer is easy, but it's very time-consuming.
Well, that's one of the fun things, too, is the weekend that I started playing, there are specific formats that they're letting specific players come up with that they'll have for so long, much in the same way that, you know, with Overwatch, we get our Christmas event or our Halloween event or something like that. And the format that was going on when I was playing was based on big creatures. Like, every time you played a creature... with four greater power, you got to draw a card.
Oh, that's
kind
cool.
of thing. And I think the next one, I'd seen a video online. The next one is the no land. Whatever you play, you can just whatever you draw, you can play. Like the casting cost does not matter during in that format.
That's kind of cool.
So that'll
like
be
Wizard's Tower.
Yeah, that'll be kind of fun. And that was one of the things I wanted to bring up too. The big glaring missing thing, at least right now in the beta testing, no friends list.
I think they're slowly working on that. You can play against your friends, but really hard.
If I know your username and your like identification number, I can send you a direct challenge. But I can't just see if you're online and want to play some
magic. I think that you'll eventually...
I'm sure. It's got to be in the works. For sure. But just think of how many different iterations, video game-wise, of Magic there's been. I think this has got to be the best one.
That's what a lot of people are saying, because
like,
MTGO
was head and shoulders better than online.
It was really tough,
right?
Because the complexity would break the game.
Well, I remember when Magic the Gathering Online came out too. Like on the consoles, they were doing the Duels of the Planeswalkers games.
Yeah,
and I prefer those.
Yeah, but you couldn't really make your decks or anything. So with this, you can actually you choose your favorite walker, and then you just as an icon or as a hero, and it has no pertaining thing to what your deck does.
No, not at all.
It's kind of like an avatar. You're like, hey, I'm playing as Nyssa or Chandra, and I'm playing against Gideon, but Gideon's using a all mono black deck when he's a white playing, like, so it has no connotation. It's just you're picking a character and then you're making playing the decks that you want to play, which is super cool.
As someone who has tried out pretty much almost every version of Magic the Gathering that they put in a video game, all the way back to the original PC game, which was like conceptually a great idea, but did not work whatsoever. This is absolutely the best version of Magic the Gathering I've seen in a video game setting.
I'm excited. I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm excited to see where this Magic Pro League goes too, because, you know, I used to be, when I was big into Standard, I would watch all the Pro Tours and all the Grand Prix.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I still remember probably my favorite one is where Alexander Haigh, it was Pro Tour Avacyn Restored, and he had this Miracles deck, and he just he's like, oh, top deck, oh, it was so cool. And I was like, I was up at like 4 a.m. watching this up north at my grandmother's cabin. She's like, why are you up so early? I'm like, because I'm a nerd. And but it was cool.
Hence why we have you on the show, Kyle.
Exactly. And but it's cool. So hopefully they continue to, you know, and as for me, in terms of paper Magic, I love it more just because I like tangible things that I can hold and,
sure,
you know, I like the materials of it. But I hope that they eventually say that, oh, so every pack you get, it's kind of like Pokemon where you get a pack every time you get a pack and you can put the code into Arena. So it's essentially you're buying two products for the price of one.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that'd be so cool. So hopefully they do that too, or maybe every other pack or something, you'll get codes, which will be cool.
Well, yeah, and that was a thing I actually forgot to mention too, is that when you get so many packs in this game, you get these, I don't want to call them proxy cards, but you get these cards that while you're building your deck, if you don't have enough of a specific card, you can turn one of these cards into that card.
Oh, that's really cool.
Like, they count as common, uncommon, and rare, so you only have so much of them, and it obviously takes a lot to get the rare of these proxies, you know, with
but
for
it gives
lack
you
of a better word,
copy into your collection.
Yeah, but, you
so
know, if
sweet.
It, you know, once per card, per one of these proxy cards, you can go like, oh, I need one more of these cards, so I'm going to turn one of these into this card, and now I have an extra copy of this card.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a neat thing. It's like essentially with the packs, it's almost like where the land would be in a pack, is you'll get one of these cards, and sometimes it's a common, sometimes it's a rare, which is kind of
cool.
So yeah, I think between the two of us, we would both absolutely recommend, if you are a fan of Magic the Gathering and want a little something. I'll tell you what, it is addictive. Just getting those quests and being like, okay, so I got to play like 20 black cards, but I also need to play like 40 black or blue cards. So I'm just going to play my black deck for a bunch of games. And there were games that I didn't even care if I won, as long as I got to cast as many black spells as possible.
Yeah, and you're working towards that quest, which is sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
So cool. I'm glad to see Wizards is on the right track.
For sure, for sure. All right, let's take a break. Let's talk about some more games, some more floppy card games when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Nerd Radio.
Okay, magic cards, go.
Yeah, magic cards. They're pieces of cardboard, and you play them on the ground, and people play cards against you, and first one to go down to 20 wins from 20.
All right, thanks for listening to Nerd Radio, and we out.
That's all we got.
All right, welcome back. We got more Nerd Radio for you this week, wherever you get your podcast, and of course, all over the social media at Nerd Radio 101. Kyle joining me again this week.
Oh, yeah.
We forgot to mention in the last bit, Kyle, where can people find your stream on Twitch?
Oh, yes. You can find me on twitch.tv/acolyte. So
right.
It's got a funny spelling, but it's A-K-I-L-Y-T-E.
We were talking during the last segment, too, about the Magic Arena. Are people streaming that yet?
Oh, yeah.
Is that streamable?
There's actually some Magic pros or semi-pros that do stream it.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that they just love Magic and they're just like,
that's cool.
I'm going to stream this.
As somebody who only occasionally streams a game off like my PlayStation 4, like I don't know what the rules are for streaming every day. I know that Persona 5 will not allow me to stream it.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, you know, I don't know. I've heard before that Nintendo gets kind of twitchy about letting people stream stuff or create video content.
If it's stuff like, I mean, Smash Bros, they won't care because people love Smash. But there's certain games where Nintendo's like, no.
Right. Right. So. I wanted to tell you about a month ago we played the Transformers card game.
We did.
Here on the show, and I was talking about how the Transformers cards themselves are essentially, you know, you take like a card and put it, a regular playing card, and you put it next to each other and they're about that big.
Yeah.
They released another starter deck that is the Autobot City Metroplex.
Oh yeah.
And in order to let you know that he's the city and he's a Titan, you know how big the Transformers cards were. You took one of those and put it next to each other. Like the Metroplex card is about the size of a sheet of paper.
Oh my God.
Massive.
That's sweet.
It's interesting too for balance because they gave him a very low defense, but a very high life total. So you can punch through his defense pretty easily, but you got to whack him a lot
to knock him down. That's crazy.
So yeah, it was cool to see. Absolutely. What else were we going to talk about?
Well, we got to cover. We can talk a little bit more about KeyForge if you want.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we did get to play some KeyForge, didn't we?
We did get to play some KeyForge.
Yeah.
So, what were your thoughts on it? I know I brought a couple decks with me.
I think you should have given me the deck that was stronger instead of letting me play the deck that was weaker.
I didn't know deck would be stronger or weaker.
Right. I really appreciate that as somebody who likes collectible card games, but I would say my weakest point when playing collectible card games is deck building. I like that it takes that out of my hands, that you just like, here's a deck. I still don't get, if I bought a deck, like I said the first time we talk about it, like if me and you bought decks and you totally trounced the deck that I did, like you kind of beat it up.
My deck seemed a little pretty strong.
And then I went and bought another deck that was stronger. Well, I might as well throw the other one in the trash because it's not like you can take cards out of it to play.
But you never know. Your deck could honestly be strong against a different deck. That's the funny thing, and I realize that is if I took my deck to the one that I used against you, and you know what's funny is that I learned something about their competitive play is you have to register like X number of decks.
Oh, really?
And then your opponent, depending on win-loss record for each of your decks, they can ban a deck away.
So you register like three decks, and then every round they can be like, well, I don't want you to play that one.
So for instance, like let's say you and I were in a tournament, and you're like, well, clearly the deck that, you know, the one that I was playing, you're like, clearly this deck is like a control-y type of, I'm never going to get enough amber to get to the point of where I can get a key. So I'm going to ban that deck away, and then I'm stuck with one of my other two.
That's fascinating.
You know, so that is
so
kind of
that
cool.
That actually makes you want to keep decks around.
Correct.
Okay. That makes a little bit more sense. For those that don't know what we're talking about, KeyForge is a game made by Richard Garfield, who originally
and Fantasy Flight Games.
Originally created Magic the Gathering. It is unique in that it is sold only in decks. You can't buy booster packs. You cannot alter the decks, which is kind of interesting. And I got to say, when we played it, the thing I appreciated the most is even though I lost the game, I got to play.
Like, yeah, you were playing. You were trying to figure out how do these cards work, and
right.
And that's I think what was cool is that
I did not get so routed that I didn't get to play any cards whatsoever. Like
correct.
I still got to get a feel for what my deck's strengths and weaknesses were, and I got to actually play multiple turns instead of as we spoke about before when it comes to
like Magic where games you can lose on turn one.
Yeah, games where people can build their own decks. You get a lot of people who at the risk of being politically incorrect, I like to think of as like autistic mathematicians that just figure out like, oh yeah, if I get this and this and this on turn two, then you never get to play again.
Yep.
And like that's not
and
a good time.
I like what KeyForge kind of throws in the mix is that your deck can play completely differently almost every single time. Well, maybe not almost, but you see different side because your deck is made of these three different guilds or whatever.
Each deck essentially has like if you refer to it in Magic the Gathering terms, three colors.
Yes.
That you're playing
and
under.
You have to really think about and sometimes I felt like I had some tough choices and I think you did too. Where
oh,
like,
for sure.
Do I do this or do I just kind of take a turn and lose it and just kind of deal with it?
Yeah.
So We'll definitely have to play again, but man, what an interesting game, and I'm glad to see that it's doing good.
It's interesting too because for the longest time I worked at a card gaming store for about 7 years, well before I got into radio, and for the longest time I would whenever a new card game would come about, I would always say like one of the worst mistakes you can make right off the bat with a card game is to put too much extra stuff in the card. Like one of the joys of Magic the Gathering is you show up with a deck of cards and maybe a life counter. And you're good, you know, and a lot of card games would be like, well, no, you got to have these beads so that you need counters for this and dice for this. And you got to have the special thing over here and stuff. I'm like, no, that's too much stuff, man.
Well, I feel kind of a little bit. That's how Keyforge kind of is, because if you get the huge, big starter pack, you get, I think, essentially four decks, and then you get six key tokens, one, but three for you, three for me, and
right.
Then you get a bunch of Ember to share, and then you get a bunch of other tokens. It's just like, that's nice, but nice to see that we just kind of like, hey, I have this dice, let's use it.
Yeah, we sat down with Keyforge and like a brick of little tiny six-sided dice, and that was it. That was all you needed. And it really kind of worked out, man.
It did.
I gotta say, I'm slowly turning around. I think this is, at first it sounds like an amazing idea, but it also sounds like you're never going to make any money doing it.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they really got a handle on it, and that's cool to see.
Yeah, it's definitely different, and I like it. And some of the names are ridiculously funny for some of these decks.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, they definitely have a random name generator spitting out names for things. So let's talk, we kind of been avoiding it. Let's talk about Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, so it's not... For me as a lover, I mean, you are more of a lover, I think, than I am, because I play so many other games.
Sure.
Especially its big competitor, which is League of Legends.
But right.
They're taking the development, and they're taking some of the developers off the game and putting them towards other projects.
Right.
And they announced the cancellation of the Heroes Global League.
Yeah,
or the Heroes Global Championship, which is their esports initiative, which doesn't surprise me, but it also does kind of surprise me because I guess the money wasn't there. But if you look at a game like Smite, which is less popular than Heroes,
right?
But it's kind of crazy to think that, you know, for once, Blizzard's is like, yeah, it's not a bad idea, but we're taking some things away from it. And a lot of people are upset. Like,
that was the thing I found most fascinating, is this was announced almost a month ago that Blizzard was like, okay, we're going to take some of the developers off Heroes of the Storm. So you're not going to see as much, you might not see as much of like the seasonal events or something like that. We're not going to be cranking out new heroes as constantly as we have been,
yep,
kind of thing. But then for them to also say that, hey, the global championship not going to happen next year. Like we're focusing our esports more on like Overwatch or, you know, other games. And just the backlash on the internet over this, that maybe it's because it's a world that I'm not entrenched in, but it fascinated me. I was like, I can't believe people were similar to when Blizzard announced that they were making a cell phone version of Diablo and people got super pissed because it wasn't like on the next Diablo game. I'm like,
Who says that this Diablo cell phone game isn't going to be just a precursor to something that you get to play with Diablo 4? I'm just saying that, like take a look at, so everybody was mad about Pokemon Go.
Right.
But then we got Pokemon Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu, and both games work together.
And it's kind of great.
So what if this Diablo smartphone game, and they have to be working on Diablo 4, they just don't want to tell people.
Right.
And what if this, what is it, Diablo Immortal?
Or Eternal or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. What if the Diablo smartphone game and Diablo 4, what if your character is like transferable and you can go and find, like, the possibility is kind of endless because the tech is all there.
Right.
So I would say, and it's going back to Heroes of the Storm, it's a bummer. And I personally don't really watch a lot of Heroes esports, but I would watch it, you know. And it is a bummer because imagine being, imagine being someone who you like, let's say you are a pro. You've been playing this game since it came out. You've gone through 2.0. You have almost every single character. And let's say you and a group of buddies were like, dude, we love this game so much. Let's just try and become a team.
Right.
And you guys have been working for the last X number of years to get really good. And you have these, you understand every in and out of the game, all the maps, all the just all the tricks and tips of the game. And you have been accepted to the Hero Global Championship with some, a couple of little sponsors, and boom, all of a sudden, all your work has been for naught. I think that's why a lot of people are upset, because you have X number of people who have been training for years to, you know, make this game, and all of a sudden they're like, they press the red button and they kill everything, because they, there's just not, it's not, the resources are there, but they're also probably, I bet you, bleeding money as well.
I understand that, but I feel like it's extremely short-sighted.
I also agree with that.
To look at a career in esports as something that will be there for you for the rest of your natural life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially when it comes to, you know, once again, we as much as me and you are a fan of Blizzard's version of Heroes of the Storm, I think we can both admit that Heroes of the Storm was made specifically to try and take a chunk out of the pie that League of Legends had.
And it, between League and Dota 2.
I'm sorry, yeah, Dota 2 as well.
Between both these games, it's, they were already there, and they came, what was it, 2 or 3 years after? And by the time, so Heroes of Storm came out in, what, 2015?
That sounds about right.
League of Legends came out borderline 2008, 2009.
Right.
So you already have a 6-year difference. Come on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like Heroes of the Storm was,
you're late to the party.
No, Heroes of the Storm was very obviously Blizzard looking around at the market. They have all this World of Warcraft money,
cuz
that's their thing that cannot be touched. How many MMOs have you seen come and go trying to grab some of that World of Warcraft money? And you know, looking around at the market and going like, what else is big? Oh, well, you know, Dota and League of Legends have a huge player base. If we can make a game like that, but with a Blizzard spin on it, then we could probably take a chunk of that pie. It's like I said, it's just, to me, it seems extremely short-sighted, especially when it comes to, I'm going to base my entire esports career on a game that is like another game that is, you know, has a much larger player base. I'm going to go into the smaller player base. Like I was saying off mic, I'm going to be a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm cool with that. Like, there have been so many games I personally have played because I knew, well, there's not going to, like, at when the game starts, there's going to be this huge player base, but then there's going to be a huge dropout. And if I can just weather that dropout, then hopefully by that point, I'm the big fish in the small pond.
Yeah. And I ultimately think that, I mean, I think Heroes is nothing but successful. If by this year they didn't see some kind of, maybe they did say a little bit of growth, but not a lot. But
right.
Clearly, people play their game. Clearly, the counts are there. But
yeah, I don't think
the
it's
ratings,
a matter.
I think
I don't
for,
think it's a matter of success. I think it's just a matter of Blizzard. You know, once again, like they've got their hands in a lot of different stuff. Diablo, Overwatch, you know, Heroes of the Storm. Can you, you know, before Overwatch came out, if you told me the World of Warcraft guys were making a first-person shooter to rival, you know, Call of Duty and Team Fortress and and Counter-Strike, you know, I think we both would have looked at each other and went, that's not going to
work. Please, they've never made a shooter in their life.
Right.
But
that's,
you know,
going to be terrible.
The gamble paid off, and look at how huge it become. And it's the one of the most successful, pre-successful.
Right.
Esports leagues in esports history.
I think the real question is not, you know, was Heroes of the Storm successful enough for them to keep pouring resources in? I think the real question is, what's next for Blizzard? What's the next, you know, what's the next mountain they decide to climb as far as video games go?
Well, if we take a look at it from their track record, they took the idea of RTS games and conquered it. There's still, to this day, you have no game that is like StarCraft 2.
Right.
Or even StarCraft, for that matter. Even World of Warcraft 3. And a lot of games came out of that. League came out of that. Dota came out of that. And now, even though they were late to the party, we got HOTS.
Yep.
And so they've kind of been the, hey, we have this idea, and they were the first of the party. Like, even I think EverQuest was out before World of Warcraft, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
But Wizards, so many people loved Warcraft.
I almost said Wizards of the Coast. Blizzard has such a great eye for design.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember even when you could play both games, when you use EverQuest, people would be like, well, I play EverQuest because I don't want my game to look cartoony. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I understand that, but it looks beautiful. Like, I would much rather play the visually appealing game than the game that, you know, you're trying to tell me is better.
Yeah. And I played WoW for a year and a half, and, like, it's...
I spent my time in the World of Warcraft. I understand
the
appeal.
I thought it was cool, but at the same time, I'm also more of a, I don't want to really, and this is, I think, my issue with some games like Destiny and Monster Hunter, and I played Monster Hunter when it came out, too.
Yeah.
Is that the grind is just, the level of grind can be just so, like.
Absolutely. And
plus,
it's
I didn't have a lot of friends on WoW.
Well, and it's absolutely fascinating, too. I've played, like I said, I spent my time in World of Warcraft at different points in the game, mm-hmm. and it's absolutely fascinating every couple of years to come back and see how much it's changed. See
yeah.
how much more user-friendly it is than the last time. Similar to League of Legends. The first
yeah.
time I ever tried to play League of Legends, that game was not user-friendly in
yep.
the least. And then I think a year or two ago, you were talking to me about it, and I just downloaded it again, tried it again. I was like, oh, okay, this explains things a lot better
yes,
now.
Yes, they actually do explain some things, and sometimes I went into it because I had a friend that he explained, we played it side by side, and he explained everything to me.
Right.
And now I just love it. So, but I'm bummed about Heroes, but at the same time, I understand your business, and also we have to remember that the former head of Blizzard stepped down. Someone took his place.
Okay.
I can't remember the guy's name offhand, but so we did have a couple, powerful people up top.
A little bit of a shakeup.
A little bit of shakeup in management. So there's a new person at Activision. There's a new head of Activision who's calling shots. And there's a new head at Blizzard who is also calling shots. So if you're not seeing, and I've heard that they're doing all sorts of different projects. So, you know, if Blizzard wants to, I know this is far-fetched, but imagine if Blizzard came out with a, I hope you're listening, Blizzard, you're welcome. but imagine taking the style of game that Overwatch is and making a racing game.
A Blizzard racing game?
But develop your own characters. No previous Blizzard stuff. But imagine doing that.
Are you talking like a Mario Kart?
Kind of like a Mario Kart, but...
But with new characters.
But with completely new characters, you can make it as serious or as cartoony as you want.
Mm.
And, let's say each character has two or three abilities and a passive, and you can race, you can do battles. Kind of like, so yeah, essentially Mario Kart, but I'm sure there's something out there that you can figure out.
Well, I think we know what's on your Christmas list for 2019.
Yeah.
Blizzard racing game.
Yeah, I'm just putting it out there, but they probably won't ever make that, but because racing games aren't the biggest thing in the pond.
Well, yeah, and they have to figure out how to monetize it in the
yep.
same way that, you know, they had to figure out how to make KeyForge successful.
Yeah.
So, speaking of, while we're talking about Blizzard, man, you were saying that you've gotten to try Ash, the new Overwatch character.
Yeah, she's
super
cool.
Give me a 411, man.
So,
how is Ash play?
I'm very eclectic in terms of my Overwatch play. You know, I can play some of the tanks, I play some of the healers. I essentially would like to see some... This is where I come out and say, I'm sorry, I love you, Blizzard, and I love Overwatch, but Paladins is way better. Because the amount of variety in that game versus the amount of variety in Overwatch pales in comparison to what you have in Paladins. In Paladins, you have just a crap ton more variety. But I digress. Ash is super cool. She's got a rifle that's kind of like a super sci-fi Winchester rifle.
Yeah.
You get 12 shots. You can fire them off semi-automatic in burst, however many you want, when you are zoomed in or scoped in, ADS, more or less.
Right.
You
Yeah, because she looked like she was going to be more of a sniper-type character.
She is. This is where I'm going to tell you, you should definitely, when you have the time, put a little bit of effort into playing Ash, because I think you might like her.
Okay.
So she's not so much snipery as she's so much as she wants to harass the hell out of people.
Oh, okay. I can get behind that.
And so if you're just hip aiming, it's still kind of accurate, but man, she spits out damage. And then if you're scoped in, you do fire slower, but you don't necessarily have to be accurate. Your entire premise is that you are not in the thick of it. You are kind of
trying to be
you're
on
not
the,
as far back as Widow.
No, try and be on the outside and just like
but you're
peppering
kind of
people,
walking around trying to harass other players. So you want to harass their backline from your backline, essentially, and it's kind of cool. And if you do get into the thick of it, let's say a Reinhardt or a Winston is kind of barreling down on you, she has a coach gun, which is kind of cool because you can make her jump super duper high and get over obstacles.
And get out of there?
No, yeah. So her coach gun lets you, it's kind of like a double barrel shotgun in a way.
Uh-huh.
I think kind of Reaper, but only one shot, and it's on a cooldown. So she takes out her coach gun, and she goes, boom. And she flies backward.
Oh, it shoots it. So you can rocket jump with it,
so
essentially?
So you can essentially rocket jump with her.
That's
and
fun.
I'm having so much fun. And then she also has a stick of dynamite that she throws.
Yeah.
She throws it after you can shoot it. If you're accurate enough,
oh,
you can shoot it, and it detonates immediately, and it adds a stack of dots.
Oh, so it's
so
like
damage
a little bit
over time. It catches people on fire, and it makes them semi-susceptible to more damage.
And what about her alt?
Her alt
her
is
robot
named,
butler?
Her alt is named Bob, which is an acronym for Best Omnic Buddy.
Yeah.
So Bob comes in, and he comes down and knocks people up, and then he goes towards a target, and if that target stays there, he knocks them up again and starts to shoot at them. And it's kind of like a sentry turret, kind of like Torbjorn's turret in that
right.
If Bob sees you, you're getting shot at.
Oh, interesting.
So it's really kind of cool, and it
Can he hit more than one character, or is he just focused on one?
So let's say you're in a group. Let's say you have a tank and a tracer and, you know, some other character.
Yeah, right.
Let's say there's three enemy characters kind of all around you. You're like, okay, well, I just got Bob. Time to use it. She says, Bob, do something. Bob comes down around you, knocks everyone up, moves forward, knocks them up again, and starts to shoot at everybody that's an enemy. And so it's kind of, it's a little bit of CC, but it's also kind of like, now they have to deal with Bob. I can use my coach gun and get away.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's kind of like
drawing the aggro.
He is. And he does have some pretty decent health, but it's really cool. I think she's as I think IGN or Kotaku said, I don't know which one of them said this. One of the editors or writers said it, but it's not the character we wanted, but it's the character that you need because she's so fun to play.
Nice.
And my clips are probably already gone, but I did stream a couple weeks ago, and I was just having just the time of my life with her. I got three play of the games back to back with her. She's just ridiculously fun, and I definitely have to say she's not the hero I wanted, but she's the hero we deserve. She's ridiculous.
All right, Kyle. Well, let's wrap things up. Once again, where can people find your stream
you
online?
You can find my Twitch on twitch.tv/acolyte.
It's A-K-I.
A-K-I-L-Y-T-E.
There you go. Of course, you can find us on social media at Nerd Radio 101. Thanks, as always, for coming in, Kyle.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Fantastic time talking to you about nerd stuff. We'll be back next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend!
Golden Radio.
I know!
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out!
Did you ever play the Magic game that was on the original Xbox?
Duels of the Planeswalkers?
No, Magic the Gathering Battlegrounds.
No.
It's on the original Xbox. It was almost like a real-time action-based version of Magic. Like, you got mana, and then you would cast creatures and spells, and you would put them on the field in play, and then they would move across the field and whack your opponent and then come back. Kind of thing.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Your opponent could, you know, like if I played Llanowar Elves, like they would make sure that I got mana faster, but they would also walk across the field so like my opponent could just whack them with a stick and get rid of them real quickly. But it was real time, so you were building up to bigger and bigger creatures. It was much more creature based than spell based.
And that's kind of cool. That kind of reminds me of so the developers of Paladins, Hi-Rez Studios,
mm-hmm.
they have a game called Hand of the Gods.
Is that the like Heroes of the Stormish type of game? Because I heard that the Paladins had another game.
It's called Smite.
Smite. Well, no, that's not. Smite's not one thing. No, like there's a new version of Paladins because James was talking about it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, Realm Royale.
Yeah, that's it. Realm Royale.
Realm Royale is their version of Fortnite.
Ah, okay.
Or their version of PUBG, I should say.
Right.
You pick a class and you have a couple of abilities, and then it's actually kind of fun. So, but I don't really. I just care about Paladins, honestly.
Yeah.
Paladins is their best game besides Smite. So I hope they keep working on that. But they Hand of the Gods is kind of like that, and you build a deck, but you place your creatures and stuff in play on the field, and they have so many moves that they can do.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of cool. It's inventive. It was their version of Hearthstone.
Okay.
But it evolved more into something. I don't know if people still play it, but I really liked it.
That's always the thing, too, especially with free-to-play games, is, like, even the a lot like collectible card games. Like, even the ones that, like, the best ones aren't quite Magic the Gathering, so there's a finite lifespan that game
well,
is
yeah,
going to exist.
Like, plus, it's just like, you know, I did look, I played it when it was, I got access to early beta and all that, and it's still in beta, but they keep their games in beta for so long, it's just like,
yeah.
I don't know if people even still play this game. I went back in there, and it's just like, it's you have to play, like, 20 matches, and the matches literally take forever, and it's like, you know, it's just tough.
About 4 or 5 years ago, there was a Korean company that was working on a Transformers MMO, and that morphed into essentially like Team Fortress with Transformers. Like, there were a couple of different character classes, you know, like a tank class and a DPS class and whatever like that, mm-hmm. and you just fought, you know, Autobots versus Decepticons in little arenas, you know, best of 20 or best of 40 kills or something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
And I enjoyed it, you know, enjoying Transformers and everything like that. But that thing was, it came and gone within about 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was in beta testing the entire time. Like, never got an official release. But it's like, that's the prime example of what I'm talking about.
It can't always be, what was it, Transformers? What was the really successful?
Was it Fall of Cybertron?
War for
Cybertron?
So.
The
there was a
games?
Couple ones a couple years ago where they were just ridiculously
were
good.
They were real good. Yeah, because it had a single player mode, but then the multiplayer mode was just fucking Call of Duty with Transformers.
Yeah.
And I played the shit out of that. I was a big fish in a small pond, man.
That's
I enjoyed
funny.
The hell out of it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.